response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Oh, James, we're having fun laughing because we're not talking about the Kings.
Oh, yeah.
We can keep going with that. Just you guys go ahead, lead the way.
The
only thing you could do with the Kings about it involves laughing is laugh at them. Man, this is obviously the kickoff, tip-off to a huge homestand tonight. And what, I mean, just you had the heartbreaker against L.A., he had a 29-point loss, a 26-point loss, a 16-point loss. Maybe tonight it'll just be a 6-point loss. Who knows? But what have you seen over the last – I'm going to dumb it down to 3 games instead of including that Clippers game because I didn't really have a problem with the Clippers game. What have you seen the last 3 that has just been so bad?
I don't know how to describe it. They just look like 8 players, you know, like that are playing that just – aren't playing together. They just look like a collection of players and not a team. And I don't know how else to describe it. It feels like every time you think that you've got this team figured out a little bit, or they go on a little bit of a run, you know, they have some, you know, a couple of games where they're missing Sabonis, a couple of games where they're missing Malik Monk. And then they just look like they're starting at square one again. And I feel bad, you know, to like sit here and critique them again and again and again, but that's our job. And when you watch a team that goes out there and just doesn't look like they're connected at all on either side of the ball, you know, that's a huge problem. I looked it up over the last 4 games. Like, this team's offensive rating is a 107 and their defensive rating is a 127.5 or something. They're like a negative 20.4 net rating. Like, that's what we're looking at. That's what it looks like on the court. It's just they look like one of the worst teams in basketball. And I know that that's not the case. I know that this team is not one of the worst teams in basketball. So for me, I just, you know, how many times can a team lose its way in one season? I don't know. But, you know, I've run out of fingers and toes at this point to keep counting. And it feels like every time you think that they're moving one way, they decide to prove you wrong.
You know, James, I gave him a little bit of grace. And like I said, I'm not sure if that's necessarily the right word, because you got to acknowledge what they've looked like this past week. It's been awful. But what we saw this past week is kind of the first time, I feel at least, we've seen that from this group. We'll just say under Doug Christie. You can rationalize or make excuses or give explanations for the Knicks game and maybe even the Warriors game. Friday was just awful, just absolutely awful. There was nothing to rationalize about their performance, their effort, and their focus in that game. But like I said, that's been the anomaly. They've been, to me at least, they've been pretty tough for the past 3-4 weeks. And this past week has just been a bad week. Do you think it was just potentially a bad week? Not saying that they won't go on and lose games, but to see them play the way they've played this past week, do you think it might have been just a bad week, or is this who they are in your eyes?
It's a tough one, Kenny. I do believe, like what you said, that the Knicks game, there was a reason why the Knicks game happened, right? We're talking about a team that played the Clippers the night before and went to overtime, and everyone played 45 minutes. And, you know, there was a reason why that game happened. I'm not giving them any leeway at all for the Golden State game. I thought that was just, you know, like you didn't get off the team bus. And then you follow that up with another game that looks identical to it. And that's the problem. Like, when you start to see the same exact things show up in multiple games, then that's where it becomes like a trend, and you start to get like concerned about those trends. So they've got to figure it out. I mean, again, Malik Monk, you know, talked about, you know, how he sat on the sidelines and watched and thought that he could probably be a better distributor and he needs to look for his teammates more. And then he comes out and he leads the team in field goal attempts 3 games in a row. You have the Zach LaVine thing where he goes from, you know, scoring 30 one night to going 5 of 10 from the field the next night, 5 of 6 the next night, and then, you know, the next game. And then, you know, what we saw on Friday to me was a player who midway through between the third and the fourth quarters realized that he was about to be roasted again for shooting the ball 6 or 7 times and came out in the fourth quarter and put up numbers when the game was over. And so I think that there are concerns that we're seeing from this group that, you know, you don't really know how to put your finger on. Like, why is it that they've let go of the rope? And why is it that they're defending the 3-point line like they did early in the season, like the first week of the season, when, you know, this isn't even the same group of players? It's just not. I mean, for the most part, you've switched out, you know, like, I don't know what, 4 of the 8 rotational players. So, like, there's a lot of questions that we have to ask. And I don't want to be a downer the whole time, because that's not what we're here for. We're here to just call how we see it. But there are definitely some concerns, and you know, the four games that you just lost right there, that might be one of the weak spots of your schedule for the next 3 weeks. And, you know, it wasn't an easy spot in your schedule, but Phoenix isn't a good team. You know, we saw Phoenix do that to you on Friday and then turn around on Sunday and just get walloped. Like, that's not a good team. The Warriors, they're a good team. They're playing really well right now. The Knicks, you know, again, not a bad team, but they were missing their leading scorer. So, like, these are problems that you have to address and you have to figure out. And unfortunately for us, we have to talk about time and time again.
Hammer, I don't feel like we're talking. I think my biggest concern is I don't feel like we're talking about any new problems. Like, 3-point defense, it's certainly not a new problem. It just feels like, for some reason, over the last handful of games, like, it's gotten significantly worse. Like, teams are just coming in and it's just all money in. They have no problem hitting threes against Sacramento, and the Kings are just still kind of stuck there. We used the argument after the trade deadline about gelling, about coming together, about all of this, and then it felt like for a stretch of games, maybe 5 to 7, that they did. Now all of a sudden it feels like everything is falling apart. You brought up the Zach LaVine thing a second ago. I can't figure out why all of a sudden you're not taking shots, why all of a sudden you're getting aggressive in, you know, glorified garbage minutes in the fourth quarter. It just, what's happening with them almost feels unexplainable. Like, what is the excuse for this right now?
Yeah. Just to pull up out of the chat, is it something Doug is or isn't doing, asking me the question? Like, look, this is a professional basketball team. This isn't rec league. This isn't, you know, even a college level team. And not only that, but this isn't a young team. This is like, the Kings rotation is all like 25 and up, between 25 and 35. Like, these dudes are mature. They know the game. They know what time it is in the season. They understand what's at stake. And like, you can't, it does not work to have a players only meeting, a starters only meeting, a coaches only meeting, you know, like, again and again and again. Like, how many times have we heard over the past, you know, 15 years that the Kings have to get back to basics? They've got to strip down their offense, strip down their defense, get back to basics. Well, this shouldn't be that team. This is a team of, you know, very, very talented players, and they need to go out and they need to play better. And like, this is not something Doug is doing or isn't doing. And that's, I'm not just saying that. Like, this is a team that has to go out there and just play better. And they need to play harder, and they're going to face a Memphis team tonight that plays for 48 minutes, regardless of who's playing. And if you're not ready for that, then you're going to get rolled over again like you did the previous four games. Again, this is the first time under Doug Christie's run here that they've even lost three games in a row, let alone four. I think he'd done a really good job of getting this team ready and having them be resilient. The lack of resiliency in this week alone is just kind of startling and confusing.
How much of what's going on with this team, and you mentioned Malik Monk specifically, and I was listening to you guys earlier, and I agree with you, and I understand it's not to say it's all his fault or anything else like that, but you know, you mentioned what he had to say coming off of the injury and then, you know, leading the team in field goal attempts. How much of his struggles and maybe even the team struggles is not making shots? You know what I mean? Like Malik Monk, we talked about, he's 3 of 21, I believe, from three in the last three games. If he was 10 of 21, like, things would be different. Like, he's just missing shots, and he's getting good looks. And I think, you know, you got a guy like Zach LaVine. If he was more aggressive, you know, maybe things would be different. Keegan Murray has gone back to not necessarily hitting shots. How much of that, is it that simple? Like, if they start shooting the ball a little bit better, can you see them playing better brand of basketball and something that people can latch onto a little bit more?
I think it's interesting because you do have somebody who's shooting the ball really well. He just won't shoot it. And, you know, as a team, it's your job to, when you have an elite scoring player like Zach LaVine, it's your job to get Zach LaVine the ball and to get him in positions where he can shoot the ball the best way possible. And everybody on that team should look. I mean, look at his numbers since he joined the Kings. It's something like 52.2% from the field, 42.4% from three, and he's shooting over 90% from the line. He's a 50-40-90 guy in his 17 games with the Kings. Like, if Zach's not shooting enough, then the teammates need to be chirping at him. If Zach is not getting the ball enough, he needs to be chirping at his teammates, and his teammates need to be talking to each other about it. Like, the easiest way, I get what you're saying about, you know, guys, you know, again, Malik went 0 for 8 from 3 in the last game. You're going to have bad shooting nights, but Zach isn't having a bad shooting night. So why are you not working your tail off to get your teammate open who's dominating right now? And so that's where I think it all plays into a bigger thing. I don't think that there's like 15 shots a game that Zach LaVine's just passing up. I just think his teammates aren't looking for him. He's not being aggressive enough to go ask for the ball. So I agree about the shots not falling, but you know, I think we all know when shots aren't falling, you look for the hot hand. When shots aren't falling, you go to the reliable people in your lineup who are hitting shots. And you try to work to get them into the right position. And that's not what the Kings are doing as a team right now. And that's a bigger problem.
So what's he got to shoot the ball? Like, it's Zach LaVine. Like, he got to shoot the ball. If I say this about Keegan Murray, I damn sure going to say this about Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
Like, yep. You get the ball damn near every possession in some form or fashion. And Doug Christie is not telling you better not shoot this ball. Zach LaVine, shoot the basketball. Like, shoot.
Yeah.
Some of this stuff is, like, I think Malik Monk taking, you know, shots or whatever. But it's not like he's coming down, dribbling the ball up the court, and shooting the first shot. Like, the ball is touching other people. It gets back to him, and he's going to shoot it. Or DeMar DeRozan going to shoot it. Like, these other guys have opportunities, and Zach LaVine specifically. Like, I think there are some occasions where, you know, maybe they're not looking for him. But like I said, if I'm going to be on Keegan Murray and talk about you need to shoot the ball, Keegan Murray, you're a role player. Zach LaVine, you're a borderline all-star. You absolutely should be going and getting the basketball and shooting it yourself. I can't give him that pass for shooting six times because they ain't looking for him. Shoot the ball, Zach LaVine. You're touching it enough. Shoot the rock.
Yeah, that and, you know, like, Keegan doesn't bring the ball up. That's always been my argument to the Keegan Murray thing. Keegan doesn't naturally bring the ball up to court and, like, get to initiate the offense by himself. Zach LaVine does all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and not only that, but I think the Kings kind of got into a groove where Zach was really, really playing well. You know, before this four game stretch where we've seen him just not shoot the ball, like he is coming up back to back 30 plus point games. So like, where did that go, and how do you get back to it? So that's going to be like priority number one. But I also, like, just looking at the data from the last four games, like, they're just walking the ball up the court. I don't get it. You know, they're like 27th in pace over those games. Like, you want to look at why their offense is not working. It's because they're walking the ball up every possession. They're allowing the defense to get set time and time again. And then they're getting beat on transition baskets, and they're getting beat on second chance points. They're not rebounding the ball well. You know, like, as much as I want to, again, like, we'll pile on Zach LaVine for not shooting enough. And even like to pile on Malik Monk, I've said this a couple of times, like, since he's been back, he's led the team in field goal percent and in field goal attempts three times, right? Mm-hmm. But that's like 13, 13, and 18 shots. Mm-hmm. That's not outside of what Malik Monk should be shooting. But if you're going to make a point that you need to distribute more, and then you don't distribute more, then, you know, we have to call it out, right? But I would even say, like, even if you go back to the game the other night, you know, DeMar DeRozan was extremely efficient from the field, like, just couldn't miss, right? Had a very solid game, scored 23 points. He had one assist and zero rebounds in 30-something minutes. Like, so we're to a point, again, where guys who, you know, they know what time it is. And I think that's the most disheartening thing. These are some of the biggest games of the season for this team. We keep talking about, is this the biggest game of the season? And the answer is, yeah, each one of them has been so far. They just keep getting bigger and bigger and more important and more important. And the guys that you need to step up and live in the moment and be your best players, they just haven't answered the call. And that's a really difficult reality to be in if you're the Kings. And because it's not just about this year, it's about, okay, how do we structure this team moving forward? If this is what happens when we get into complicated or pressure situations, we need those guys to rise to the occasion. We don't need, you know, for our role players to have, like, you need your role players to rise to the occasion as well, but they can't be your best players on certain nights. And that's what's kind of happened here. So it's a difficult situation, and they've got to figure out how to get out of it together.
Do you feel like they're disengaged?
No, I don't know if it's disengaged as much as it, that horrible mentality of here we go again has slipped into their conscience. And like, we've seen that so many times with this franchise. It's like, oh boy, here we go again. You know, they hit three threes. It's like, oh, here we go again. You know, we can't defend the three. Now we're going to get torched. And it just feels like this self-fulfilling prophecy where you allow things to slip away that you shouldn't allow to slip away. And, you know, even I get schematically the Kings have tried to allow, you know, if, you know, when you're playing the Warriors, if Quentin Post or Draymond Green or Gary Payton the second beats you on the corner three, you know, it is what it is. You'll live with it because you're doing your best to stop these other two. But there has to be adjustments made. When those guys don't miss, you can stop Steph all you want, but the game's already over. Like, what good is it to sit there and send two guys at Steph the whole game when you're down 20? Because the other guys have burned you the whole time, and you can't just hope that the laws of averages will catch up to you and that'll shift. So, yeah, just there's too many things to just say, well, it's just one thing. It, you know, you have to look at how this whole thing is playing out at the same time, and it's too many things. You know, again, how many comparisons do we have to make? It's like the Dutch boy trying to plug all the holes in the dam, and every time you think you've stopped one leak, another one pops up. And that's where they're at right now.
Yeah. I want to see what these guys do this week. I mean, they've got enough games, four games this week. I want to see what they can do and what they look like. You know what I mean? Because I know winning is what you're trying to do or whatever, but I want to see a pulse from this team. Didn't have a pulse last week. And that was, and once again, I'll continue to say it, that was abnormal for this group in the last month. I've seen them with a pulse. They've lost games. They've lost by big margins. They're not infallible, but they lose a big game, they get blown out, they come back the next night and they compete. You know what I mean? Or they win a game, or they win a stretch of games. And we didn't see that all week. You know what I mean? You think back even when they first got here, and it was Orlando beat them in Zach LaVine's first game. Next night they go to Portland. They lose the game, but they competed. Mm-hmm. They were there. They didn't back down. And we haven't seen that this week, and that's what concerns me. And I want to see a level of competition and toughness that I've come to expect from this team in the last 3-4 weeks. That wasn't there this past week. That's what I want to see from this group.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you have to see. If not, I mean, I don't think there's any way they'll lose out of the play-in, right? You've only got 16 games left.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Phoenix has the most difficult schedule in the NBA. The Kings are, their schedule is down to like the fourth most difficult schedule in the NBA. And after the next like six games, the Kings schedule, really, it won't look that difficult. The last 10 are actually a lot easier than what they're going through right now. But Phoenix is going to have a really difficult time. Dallas can barely field a team. And so, like, I don't think there's any way the Kings drop. I mean, could they drop from 9 to 10? Sure. But I don't think that there's a way for them to drop completely out of the play-in. But, like, what does that mean? Like, you don't want to go and just represent yourself so poorly in a play-in. And maybe you win one game because, you know, you draw Dallas or you draw a bad Phoenix team in the first game. But the way they're playing right now, what would make you think that they're going to do well in a second play-in game, even if they get past the first? And then if somehow they make it past that, like, that'll be the quickest four-game series of all time. Now, if they turn things around, like, they still have time to, like, get together, get on the court together, you know, practice. Although from here on out, you know, again, they've got a stretch of 5 games and 7 nights coming up. There won't be any time for practice or anything else in that stretch. But, you know, maybe they'll have the ability to, you know, gel a little bit and hopefully turn things around.
Okay, we'll come back. We have talked about what got the Kings here. They're sitting back at 500. There's not a lot of room for error entering the 7-game homestand, and it is a brutal 7-game homestand. It starts tonight at the Golden 1 Center. We'll talk with James about that when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Radio audience, there's more Kenny. There is more Kenny in the hustle. If you go to youtube.com, search The Hustle 2008. Oh, the entire movie will come up.
Shout out Deion Taylor.
Fast forward to about the 56-minute mark. And you'll see our guy out there earning his Screen Actors Guild card.
A 3X polo I had on.
Oh, at least.
They must have seen something, like a star or whatever, because the first scene, Kenny's not there. Like, it's
not
just
there.
Yeah, it's just nope. Booth. Second scene, oh, wow, this guy's in here for like 2 seconds. Third scene, oh, wow, that guy's like 7 seconds. He makes a thinking face, walks away, he's prominent.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Man, you know, I was hyping up the They're fight.
Like, hey, we like that guy. Get that guy in the striped shirt more in it. Come on, let's go.
He's labeled as prominent extra Kenny Caraway in the movie.
We're all trying to have fun, and then there's Ben. Yes, I hate this team. Not the individual players, but the team makeup. It makes absolutely zero sense.
That's a great, that's a good callback from Ben, who's really joining this show 3 hours late. He just finished The Insiders a couple of minutes ago.
Ben's going to love this part of the show.
He's listening to John Cena.
Hammer, KC asked this question earlier, maybe less of a question, more of a statement. Do you think fans right now hate this team?
Oh, you know what? What I don't like about this time is that fans start turning on players, and I have seen that, and I don't like that because, like, look, like, fans shouldn't be turning on Malik Monk right now. They shouldn't be turning it. Like, you can see it in, like, on the social media stuff. Like, they're turning on players. Yeah, I mean, I think they're very disappointed in this team. They also feel like, you know, they were sold the possibility of a 6 to 8 year playoff run, and everyone knows that that's now over. And they're, you know, so yeah, I think that fans are upset, and rightfully so. Like, their team won 48 games 2 years ago and was third in the Western Conference. And here we are, 2 years later, and they've fired a coach. They've traded their star player. They're 500, and they don't look like that. If they're going to make the play-in tournament, they're backing into it. And that's kind of, it's a tough spot to be in.
It is, man. And, the same thing as you, James. Malik Monk, just 6 months ago, 9 months ago, we were all super excited that he chose to stay here in Sacramento. And he's having a tough time. He's trying to figure out a new role on the fly. And I'm not here to make excuses for him, but he's not trying to miss shots. He's struggling. He's not playing well. He's not playing well. But I think he comes to play with effort every night. He's trying to work his way through learning a new position and being efficient as the guy that we know him to be. And it's a struggle right now. But, I would hope people aren't as down as I've seen the same thing for as you have, James, as they have been lately on a guy like Malik Monk, man. Because, like I said, just 9 months ago, we were ready to throw a parade because he chose Sacramento. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough thing. Fans, I don't tell fans how to fan, but you can see sort of the temperature changing with a player, and you never like to see that. Like, again, Malik wants to be really good, and he wants to, star for this team. The fact is, he's just going through a tough patch, just like, any player would that went from playing 26, 27 minutes a night to 35 minutes a night. And then watching, there's the star player that he was playing alongside go away, and all of a sudden you do have a new role. And I don't think it's that much different than his previous role, but it's different enough. And he hasn't adapted well enough, and missing time doesn't help either. So I think everyone will be just fine. Whether that means that they're going to win basketball games or not, like, I have no idea. Like, this team, if anyone thinks that they can guess what this team is going to be or who they are and all that stuff, you're just wrong. But, I do think that there are some good things that are still happening. There is some positivity. There is a possibility that they are able to right the ship and show us some grit here down the stretch and actually make a little bit of a run. We just have to see it happen.
Do you think you're talking about Malik, what we say, 17 games left, something like that?
16.
Does Doug need to make a change? Does something need to change in the starting lineup for, the final 16 games, or for a stretch of this 16 games, or for this homestand? Or, like, does Doug have to try something?
Yeah, I would say yes, but then again, I don't even know what that would be. Because, again, we talk about Malik hasn't played extremely well and his three-point shot isn't falling and all that stuff. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't still give you at least something as a point guard. And so, I'm not sure that it's Malik that has to go out of the starting lineup. I'm not sure that it's, your $43 million man playing next to him, or your future Hall of Famer playing next to him, that should go to the bench. And at the end of the day, I don't think Doug is going to have either any of that happen. I think we're probably seeing the lineup that's going to be out there for the rest of the season. And, barring injury, I hope I'm wrong, because I think that if you get a deep enough sample size, you get, say you lose tonight and you've lost five in a row. There has to come a point where you have to actually do something different. Or you're just allowing whatever's happening to happen, and you can just check off that box and say, okay, well, this season's over. We're just going to, we'll end up in the play-in, but, who knows what happens from there. There has to be a point where you have to hold players accountable on the court for not playing better and not playing together as a team, and you have to make changes. So, but I don't know if we're going to see that or not.
Everything seemed to be okay with Domantas Sabonis. I know you kind of looked at that hamstring a little bit on Friday night and looked uncomfortable a couple times, but you haven't heard anything about him being an issue for tonight at all, huh?
No, last time I checked, he wasn't on the injury report. Trey Lyles was still on the injury report as questionable. He missed last game. I haven't seen it. I did not like the play. Talk about a couple of really weird plays by the Phoenix Suns. Like the Plumlee like shot to the face.
That was crazy.
That was one of the stupidest plays I've ever seen. Just like no reason, just run up and smash a guy with your forearm. That didn't make any sense. And then the other play, the Ryan Dunn play, I get it. You get frustrated and stuff, but like that wasn't a basketball play at all. That should have been reviewed mm-hmm. for trying to throw Domas to the floor and just like weird stuff going on in that game. I think he's all right. You know, I don't think he'll be 100% until the end of the season, especially with all of these back-to-backs coming up. There might come a point where he's not able to go on a back-to-back. But, you know, Domas wants to be out there every single game. And, you know, I don't want to see what he looks like after five games and seven nights. I think that's going to be really, really tough. And that might be where you just kind of throw your hands up in the air and go, look, if we're going to lose to OKC no matter what, a player's health might be more important than running him out here for this game.
But you can't, if you're Doug, and I don't think, and I think this is true for the players, I'll say Domas in this case, you can't approach any game in this seven-game homestand like that, can you? Like, you have to go out there with the belief you're going to beat Oklahoma City, with the belief you're going to beat Memphis and Cleveland, and you're going to go 7-0 at home. Like, you have to approach everything you do. Your margin for error is slim. It's mm-hmm. virtually non-existent. The one thing you got going for them, as you laid out earlier, James, everyone below them stinks. Like, you keep watching Phoenix, like, maybe, and then they do something where you go, nope, ain't going to be them.
And yell at each other.
Yeah, now they're back to fighting with each other. So it's you still want to maintain, like, something here if you're Sacramento to try to finish out this season, you know, somewhat strong and perhaps get something done in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, you do have to approach every game that way, and you got to hope that your team, again, responds and catches lightning in a bottle here and you've got something to work with. But I'm also, you know, looking at player health, and the Kings track players after warmups, and, you know, they track them before they go out in the warm-up, and then they track when they come off. They have them jump on the steel pads that record a whole bunch of, like, data, and they're watching to see how their body's responding and all that stuff. They'll be able to see at least some sort of, you know, like some limitations in Sabonis that they'll have to keep an eye on. But, you know, the last thing you want to do is watch him grab at his hamstring, because if that thing, you know, if he like strains it or gets a grade two pull or whatever, he's done for the year. Mm-hmm. Like, we're already seeing that with other players that are shutting it down right now. And you just hope that that's not him. You know, again, he does everything he can to be healthy and be on the court as much as possible. And you hope that he's able to maintain, even though the schedule is pretty brutal.
Hammer, get out of here. You got a long drive and some interesting weather ahead of you. So we'll see you in the morning.
All right. Sounds good, guys.
Take care, Ham.
So I got James Ham right there on his way to the Golden 1 Center to cover game one of a 7-game homestand involving your Sacramento Kings. Of course, tonight it's the Kings and the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies locked in a virtual tie for the second seed right now. Houston, Denver, and the Grizzlies all at 43-25 right now. Mm. A healthy 13 games back from the Oklahoma City Thunder, who will be here, I think it's 1 week from tomorrow.
Oh, joy.
Because I think it's Celtics Thunder, right?
Yep.
And I know the Celtics are 1 week from today. So, yeah. Right. That's where we're at.
Put the movie back on.
Here we go. More Kenny. Let's go, baby. There's Nikki McElroy. Nikki, I see you, baby.
Nikki. I mean,
yeah, I see you. And where's my boy with the early 2000s black man pose? We thought he got iced out right here.
I thought it was the end.
We thought we missed out on him. Nikki about to let him get these hands.
Nikki's the one with the bamboo earrings, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And where's my man? Nope. Where is he?
Thought I was iced out.
Boom. My boy right there. You see him? Huh? It don't even look like Kenny, do it?
Everything pretty much the same. I just got a beard now.
Yeah, the beard's different.
That's it. That's it, man. Now you're talking about bald head.
We're going to lead that up the whole show.
I had the bald head. I shaved my head.
I wonder if we could go.
I was 22. We'll
go three screen with that.
Was the voice changed during this time, or when did that happen? Pros versus Joes. I watched Pros versus Joes, that episode. Like, wait, where the hell's Kenny? It's like, you didn't realize. Like, it's just, Kenny's a whole different person.
Now, the voice change happened when Reese was born.
Mm.
It's bizarre. I don't know what happened.
Well, y'all have heard my voice change. My voice change happened, like, during that my
was,
career.
When was 50 Cent? When was the 50 Cent?
50? That was morning show.
The kid, 50 Cent.
So that's 2006?
Mm.
2006, maybe 7, but probably 2000.
And then
No. Because Matt Caron, 2005, 2006 was Detroit. So no, you got to go back. It's probably 2003 or 4.
So when did Between the Sheets D'Lo arrive?
So that's the crazy part. I always thought I was Between the Sheets D'Lo. Now I go back and listen to that sound, and it's not good at all.
Yeah, I would say probably in your 30s.
Yeah, I don't know. It
happens sometimes.
I don't know when it changed. Maybe it changed when I went to Connecticut.
I got that East Coast.
Maybe that's when my voice changed. I have no idea. Maybe I started talking less in Connecticut. I didn't have nobody to talk to, so maybe my voice changed then.
I don't know. 20 Sheets coming soon.
That's a shoot.
Yeah.
We bullied Complex. It's on the way. Sunday nights. Between the Sheets is coming back.
So yeah, I don't know what brought that on, but there's video of me when Reese was born.
Look at little facial expressions. Oh, my man walks away. Look at,
I was like, damn, that was crazy, ooh,
man. Damn, just an obnoxiously sized polo, like that is crazy.
That was one of my favorites too. Obviously, they didn't give me a wardrobe. I was like, what you wearing? Oh yeah, I'm gonna wear this polo. That's my one of my ones. Yeah, I don't know.
Is it Fat Farm? What is it?
No, I think this was.
You got the chain. Boy had the chain on even back then.
It wasn't one of those. It was like I want to say it was like maybe those polo. Assistant. I don't even know what the.
Someone said you should get an EGOT. We got to get you.
The way I delivered the emotion of that moment.
Yep.
It should get acknowledged. I'm not saying an EGOT. I'm just saying in some form or fashion, it should get acknowledged.
Charismatic.
It was
extra.
A Rock-A-Wear. Good knowledge, Kyle. That is a Rock-A-Wear one.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Is that a redacted piece?
No.
It's the facial expression at the end. It's
so
like,
this came out in 2008.
This boy got it.
I was probably 20. Yeah, about 25.
Let's see how much more.
25. That's it.
Are they still fighting out here?
That's it. It's over.
So where'd my girl Nikki go?
Nikki might still be around.
We're gonna get to
there's Zeus.
We're going to get to the end scene, and Kenny just has some massive part at that point.
It's over for your boy. I don't even remember how that movie ended. I saw it once or twice. I think it came on BET was when I saw it.
Oh, is Kenny in the credits?
Oh, good one.
I highly doubt it.
Oh, this would be great. See, stand-ins. Look, we right here. No. Stand-ins aren't the same as extras. Come on, D-Lo. Be
ready. I don't think I got any credit. Credit, no pun intended.
I mean, you were there. Like, you were prominent enough.
Yeah, guy in Rock-A-Wear polo.
I was about to say. Well, I don't even know what they called me. Guy that was hyping it up? I don't know.
Hyped up man one.
Got to get the boom operators first, the electricians.
Yeah, they ain't get your boy in the credits. Although I never looked, but
We here. Well, we're gonna talk about the Kings losing 5 in a row.
Man,
instead,
they can't lose 5 in a row. Man, they gotta find a way to win tonight.
They do, and they can. Like they can beat the Kings. Can win any game that they play.
They can.
I don't know why Rashad things Lyons. Are the way that they are
Shout
right
to my
now.
Boy Rashad Lyons, man, he got a stable backpacks. Big ups to him. Tyrone Patterson, I think that's my boy.
You think?
Yeah.
You don't know your boy's name?
Well, I don't know his name, but I don't remember him in the movie. I don't remember him being there. That's my guy from McClatchy. So I don't know.
I don't think you're getting any credits, buddy.
No, it's not.
Did they even know your name?
No.
Okay.
Hey, guy.
Can you get it? Maybe we
get a thank you.
Can we get a thank you? Ephraim Salam, JB Smooth. Nope.
Oh, they were at St. Paul. Big ups.
California Loan.
Cesar Chavez Park.
Yeah.
McClatchy Park. Oh, you got nothing.
Look, Screen Actors Guild. Not for Kenny, though.
No. No, not even a vendor.
No. Nothing. Got nothing. Oh, damn it, pal.
It's okay, though. It's okay. The experience. The memories is what I take away.
My girl, Nikki McKay. So wait a minute. Nikki had a role as big as you. It said fight girl number one.
Nikki had a speaking part.
Nikki said fight girl number one. Look at Nikki McElroy, fight girl. I'm sorry, she was fight girl number two.
Oh yeah, she
had a speaking part though. I didn't speak.
Man,
I told the story with my hands.
Oh boy, Petrie Bird in here.
Sacramento was represented. Sean Grady sure was in the building. Yeah.
No Kenny Caraway though.
No,
I bet
no.
If they knew what you had gone on to become, they would have put your name in that movie.
Their mistake.
Nah, you know, I'm ready for the sequel.
Shout out Deion Taylor. Taylor Made Music.
Yes,
always,
indeed.
I'll always be appreciative for Deion Taylor.
Did Taylor Made come through to Ricky's often?
No, Deion threw his own parties.
That's right, he did.
Deion threw his own parties. He did the Honking Lounge. He did different spots. He was the first one that put a mic in my hand.
That's right, you did. Yeah.
He put a mic in my hand and just told me to go do it, and I was scared to death. And I did. I did the first, you know, the first shout out, the first announcement. Looked over and he was like, all right. And I my nerves were calm. Nope, I was scared to death the rest of the night. The rest of the night. That wasn't even the night Allen Iverson came. That was a different night.
AI, was that one of his
Deion
parties?
Brought AI to one of his joints.
Where was it at?
I think it was the Honking Lounge. I don't remember for sure.
Damn,
I remember I remember it being narrow and hot. And it wasn't Tanel. But I'll never forget AI walking in. I will never, ever forget this.
Uh-huh.
Iverson walks in, and I've never seen a group of men react that way to another man.
Mm.
I mean, full star struck.
Yeah.
Like, you would have thought, like, Beyonce walked in. Like, you would have thought Kim Kardashian walked in. Like, their reaction to this dude was of like straight hero vibes. And I never before, not since, I've never seen anything like that before. Been at Tunnel, been with all of the guys here, been out with Mike, been out with Charles Barkley for one of Kevin Johnson's, you know, campaign stops, the first time he ran. All of that, nothing compares to the reaction I saw that night for Allen Iverson.
Man,
nothing.
We love Allen Iverson. Love, still, currently, love Allen Iverson. If Allen Iverson came, you'd probably get the same reaction.
I think you would.
If he came through Sky River or something like that. Like,
maybe not Sky River. It's a different crowd.
He was at Tiger.
Tiger. Yeah, Tiger. Tiger would do it.
Yeah, love Allen Iverson. Love Al. I'm surprised you say not Jordan though, because I feel like Jordan has that.
Michael.
Mm-hmm.
I was never out with Michael Jordan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said you saw you was with, because you were with Mike one time.
So that was at a house.
Gotcha.
And that was, so that was, it.
They all kind of knew each other then, huh?
They did, but it was still fascinating because his son was playing college basketball. So we got to the house and, you know, it's Wilbon's house, but like John Barry's there, Stuart Scott, like the NBA ESPN guys at the time. And Mike and his wife greet us, but there's no one like within sight. And they're all in Mike's bedroom, Michael Wilbon's bedroom, because Michael Jordan is sitting on the edge of the bed watching his son play. So it's that thing where Michael gets up and leaves the room and everyone follows. So it's like, it wasn't a huge crowd of people. It was 10, 12. Mm. And wherever Mike was where everything was the center of the universe. And I'll always, like, he held court that night. Mm-hmm. That's where I learned that JB is an ass. Like, he's just John Barry's an actual, absolute jackass.
That Barry family crazy.
But, like, Mike was talking. Mm-hmm. And my favorite part of the story, I know I've told it before, is always the end. It's the next day at the All-Star game. Kara's playing in the celebrity basketball game. Mark, first time I met Mark Jones, I guarantee you has no clue this happened, but Mark was doing the play-by-play with John, and Stewart was hosting All-Star festivities. I get there early because she's playing, and Stu goes, D. He goes, yo. He comes over, does he's as cool as he comes across.
The pillow.
Yeah. Does the dap up. I'm like, man, how great was that? I was like, yo, does he do that all the time? And he looked at me and he goes, he never does that.
Mm.
I've been around that man for 10 years and he never does what he did last night. Mm. He was talking about LeBron. He was talking about Mike Brown. He was talking about basketball. Like, he was holding court. Right. Yeah, he was holding court.
What's up? What's
up? Well, let's just say.
What was his take, Damon?
Sacramento has a lot in common with Mike Brown. Sacramento has a lot in common with Michael Jordan. As it pertains to Mike Brown.
Damn. Why was he all? Because LeBron was on the team at the time.
So LeBron was with Cleveland, and it was. I don't remember if this was. We can look back at the date. It was the Phoenix All. It was that Phoenix All Star game where Steve Kerr got fired as the general manager like the next day.
Yeah.
It was that All Star game. So the rumblings about Cleveland, Mike Brown not utilizing LeBron enough, like that was. It was pretty loud.
I could imagine, too, the way Mike – I mean, I haven't been around him, but just seeing, like, videos, the way Mike be talking, I'm sure he was, like, cursing when he was talking about calling him a name.
He didn't call Mike out his name.
Not out his name, but just that MF-er.
He did – yeah, no, he did that. Yeah, he did that. That's where – like the Dennis Rodman story, the Vegas story that he told on – The Last Dance, he told that story in that room verbatim.
Wow.
The way he told it on, he left out one. I don't remember if he told this detail. Is the show over? I don't remember if he told this detail on The Last Dance or not. Mm. But when he walked into Rodman's house by the facility, that there were just bodies all over the floor and they were all naked. And he's like stepping through these bodies, and he finds Dennis, and he slaps Dennis, get up,
like crazy.
And he puts him in the car. He just has on shorts. That's all he has on is some basketball shorts. They get to practice. He puts on his shoes, and he proceeds to go out there and beat everybody in the drill that Phil had him run.
All right, then they did clean that story up. It's not as X-rated, I think, as you said. I think
the way he told it, he told that story, boy. We got to go. We will see you tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos Kings like the beam!
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.